Galatians. Galatians Sunday, January 25th, we will be having a camp interest meeting. As Brother Mike said, it's hard to believe that. It feels like we just got into the new year and we are talking about camp, summer camp. So if you are interested in having your kids attend camp this year, there is a camp interest meeting January 25th, right after the morning service. And also that following Wednesday, January 28th, we have our chili cook-off. That will also be our dessert auction, which is a fundraiser for the kids going to camp. That is January 28th, 6:30 p.m. Sign-ups are out in the lobby on the black table. And then February 13th, we'll be having a Valentine's Day banquet. It is a fellowship. It's invited for everyone to come on out for that. February 13th at 6:30 p.m. Childcare is provided, but there is a cost for this fellowship. It will be $20 for a couple, a family, and $10 for if you're single by yourself. So that's the cost for it. Childcare is provided. We'll be having a guest speaker for that evening, and it will be a great time of fellowship. Galatians chapter number 1, and as Brother Noah mentioned last week, we will be going through the book of Galatians as we study it, and I'm excited to be able to be on this rotation with Brother Noah as we together study God's word and the truths that he has for us. Galatians chapter 1, and we are going to look at verse 6 through 10. Galatians 1, verse 6 through 10. The Bible says, "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Verse 10, for do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ." The church's job is to carry the gospel, but also to proclaim the correct gospel. The title of my sermon this evening is Not That Gospel, But This Gospel. We are not fulfilling the great commission that God has given to us if we are proclaiming the wrong gospel. And this is why, as Brother Noah mentioned in his introduction last week, he talked about how this is one of Paul's shortest opening letters to a region, to a group of churches. He usually is giving thanks for churches, for providing for him, for praying for him, for encouraging him and helping him. But he gives no thanks in this particular book, and it is a very short introduction of him giving who he is and what the gospel is. And we know what the gospel is. He said in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, "Brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." That was the gospel that Paul preached. That is the gospel that how he trained others and how he planted churches. This was the gospel that Paul was preaching. And the reason why he is so quickly alarmed, the reason why he is so quickly addressing this, is because there had come into this region a different gospel, an incorrect gospel, a false gospel that got Paul's attention. And as we study this correction that Paul is going to give to the people in this area, the question that I have this evening is, are you and I, as a church, are we being faithful to the truths of the gospel and the truths of God's word? You see, it's not just about believing part of it or believing the portions that we like or the areas that it makes us feel good. It's about being faithful to the entirety of the Word of God. In our passage this evening, let's notice three lessons from Paul as he goes into his correction to these churches in Galatia. First of all, what you notice, look what it says in verse number 6. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. First of all, notice the desertion from the gospel. This is Paul's reaction. He was marveled. He wasted no time in showing his amazement that in so quick amount of time, the gospel that he preached, the gospel that he was faithful to, the gospel that he endured for and was faithful to, they had turned aside from it. He was amazed and he was marveled that they were not just listening to a false gospel. They weren't just being considerate and respectful about this false gospel. They were turning to it. And their removal, it means that they had turned so soon. If you do the study, especially in Acts chapter 13, it talks about when Paul was in his first missionary journey and he is preaching throughout those chapters about how justification is not through the law, but only through faith in Christ. And this was why he was marveled. This was why he was shocked, was because how quickly they were turning. I'm not sure how they did it. I'm not sure how it was presented to them. But it was to the point, and it was so successfully done, it was to the point that they started to turn from the true gospel. This evening, we are not responsible to change anything about the finished work of salvation that Jesus did for us. There was nothing that we did to earn it. There was nothing that we did to keep it or attain it. So it's not our responsibility to change anything of it. The Bible says in Galatians 5:6, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Paul is also saying there that it doesn't matter. The issue with circumcision of how they had to add it to salvation was the false gospel that they were preaching to them. But Paul is saying here, it doesn't matter if you're circumcised or uncircumcised. It's not by anything that they could do or work for to attain salvation. It is only through faith in Christ, believing him. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not our responsibility to change what we have been called to. And that's why Paul marveled, because they weren't just called to preach the gospel, but they were called to spread the gospel. You can see how this could be an issue, because if they were accepting of this wrong gospel, then they would spread that wrong gospel, which would deceive and lead many people astray. As we go into this new year, we have many plans and activities planned this year as a church, and we pray that God would work and use us. But as a church, we cannot abandon our priority and our calling as a church to spread the gospel. John 20, verse 21 says, even as the Father hath sent me, so send I you. See, that's why it matters the way we live. That's why it matters the way we talk and interact with one another. It's because it's for the purpose, the glory of God, but also so that we can share the gospel with others. See, the gospel is the foundation. And if you do not have the foundation right, how can we lead others to Jesus? You know, I love what Brother Noah mentioned last week, how his point was grace is the foundation. It's not just grace that, it's not through his grace that we are saved, but it's also the way we need to live our lives, because it's only through his grace that we can be faithful. It's only through his grace that we can be faithful to the truths of God's word. It is important to have the right foundation. And Jesus illustrates this with the parable of the wise man and the foolish man. He said that if you hear my words and obey, then you are like a wise man who built his house on a rock, on the correct foundation. But he said that for those who hear his words and disobey and they don't listen, it's like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And of course, because it did not have the right foundation, it fell. See, it matters to have the right foundation. And our foundation, the reason why we are here and we have the gift of salvation, is because of the gospel. The gospel, which is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It was Paul that said, if Christ did not rise, everything is in vain. What is the foundation of your life this evening? What is your priority? What are you building your life upon? It's important that it is on the right foundation as we live our lives. Look what it says in verse number 7. Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Paul explains that this isn't a false gospel, though not just presenting a whole different idea, though saying that, okay, it's cool that you have the gospel, but go ahead and add this thing to it. Go ahead and continue it. Go ahead and add something to salvation. And what Paul means when he says that word pervert, it means to corrupt, to turn, to twist. There were people who were purposely trying to twist the gospel. And this isn't anything new. It has happened throughout history. We've seen how people would attack the scriptures, attack the truths of the gospel and of God's word. It's nothing new today. As I was thinking about someone trying to turn or corrupt something, I instantly started to think of, you know, how many of you like enjoy cooking? You know, maybe you're a chef. I enjoy cooking. I enjoy it. I wouldn't call myself a five-star chef at all, but I do enjoy cooking. I definitely have to glance more at the recipe than others, but that's the purpose of a recipe. You know, if it says to add half a cup, you add half a cup. If it tells you to add water, you're going to add water. And it's not our responsibility to change the recipe. You know, we can't just say, oh, it says to add water. I don't think I'm going to add water. I think it looks right just the way it is. You know, that seems silly, right? But many times, a work that is finished, which is the gospel, God's finished work that he did on the cross, people try to look at it and say, oh, that can't be enough. I need to do something. That can't be enough. I have to work my way and do more. That can't be enough. I need to give something. But that's not what the gospel preaches. Jesus himself said, it is finished. Salvation is complete. And it is a free gift for anyone who would receive. And that is the gospel that we ought to preach. The same gospel that saved you and I is the same one that we are supposed to spread. You see, we are not responsible for thinking that, okay, if I've received salvation, let me mix it up, let me change a few things, and then pass it on to the next person. No. That same gospel that you received, we pass it on to the next person. And that is the Great Commission. That is what we are commanded to do. Preach this gospel, not a different one. This evening, are you being obedient to what God has commanded you to do? That same gospel that changed your life, that transformed the trajectory of your life, are you passing it to someone else? Paul marveled that they were turning to a different gospel. Not only was there the desertion of the gospel, but notice the danger of a different gospel. Look what it says in verse number 8. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Verse 9, he says it again. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. You know, there are many words throughout the Bible that they use. If you translate it, it's there for emphasis. You know, not necessarily do you need to have two back-to-back verses that say the same thing. You could put a word in there that gives the same strength and emphasis. But this is how important Paul wanted this point to click. He wanted them to understand that if anyone preaches any other gospel than what was preached to them, then let him be accursed. This was the warning. Paul didn't care who brought it. Paul didn't care if it was him, if it was someone else. He did not care. He said, whoever is teaching the false gospel, let him be accursed. But what did it mean to be accursed? And he says it twice. Well, to be accursed was to be doomed to destruction. And when I think of that word accursed, do you remember the story of Joshua when they were going into the promised land and they had to stop from city to city? And after they had conquered that city, God gave a command that they were not to touch anything. They were supposed to just walk right through. And what did Achan do? He took some things that God commanded them not to do. It was of the accursed thing. And when they tried to conquer a small city, they couldn't do that. Because of one man's disobedience, the children of Israel, they were defeated. People lost their lives that did not have to. All because someone took something that God told them not to do. And you know what happened to Achan? His whole family died, destroyed. All that had to be done as a result of disobedience. And Paul says that whoever is preaching that wrong gospel, let him be accursed. See, it is a problem as Christians if we are trying to bend the rules or change what the Bible says to meet our agenda, to meet what we want to do and live our lives. It's more important to decide that what God has commanded, I am going to obey. You see, our purpose should never be to lead people astray. See, we have the truth of God's word. We have the gospel that we should be preaching. And that's why it's important that Paul said it didn't matter who was preaching this gospel. It did not matter whether it was Paul. It did not matter whether it was another apostle or a disciple. It did not matter. He said, if anyone is preaching the false gospel, let him be accursed. That's why it's very important that when we come into church, we shouldn't just hear someone preach and take what they're saying to the bank. We should definitely check and see what the Bible says about what people are saying. There are all sorts of things on the internet of people giving their opinions on what the Bible says or what they think we should do. But ultimately, we should decide for ourselves that we are going to open God's word and find out the truth for ourselves. That's how you decide whether what you're hearing is a false gospel or not. That's how you decide what you should do. The Bible says that his word is a lamp unto our feet and the light to our path so that he can guide us and direct us so that we can have wisdom when we hear all these false teachings, when we hear these false doctrines. That's why we need to open the word for ourselves and hear what God has for us. The question is, will you be faithful to what the Bible says? Once you do open the Bible, once you do hear the word that God has for you, once you hear the truth, will you be faithful to it? Will you be obedient to it? No, it's not enough to just open the Bible and read it. It has to be applied. It has to be faithfully obeyed. Even if it affects your family, if it affects decisions, it may be difficult things that will follow after obeying God, but that's what the Bible says. When we hear false teaching, are we going to what the Bible says? Is that your default? Will you go to what the Bible and what God has to say about it? Are we explaining the good news? That's what the gospel is. The gospel is good news that we need to share to everyone. But are you defending it? If you hear someone say that, this is the gospel, but then they add something to it, will you speak up? Will you say, this is what the Bible says? The Bible says that whosoever calleth upon him shall be saved. He said, for by grace are you saved through faith, and then not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Paul gives them the desertion of the gospel. He marveled, he was shocked that they had turned so quickly. But finally, in verse number 10, look what it says. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. There was a desertion of the gospel, and then there was a danger of a different gospel. But in verse 10, Paul gives the decision about the gospel. This is something that we all need to decide, the decision about the gospel. Paul gives his reasoning for why he feels so strongly about the gospel, and he makes his decision. He says, look, at the end of the day, he says, why am I here? Am I trying to please God or man? Am I trying to persuade men? What is my purpose? What is my priority? Because that's what shaped his decision. He said, do I now persuade men or God? Paul's priority, his goal wasn't to please men, because it was not a man that called him to this ministry. It was God that called him to the ministry, and now his priority was to God, which is why his priority was to preach the correct gospel. Paul made the decision about the gospel, which led to him being faithful to him. Notice what it says, for if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. He says, hey, if my goal, if all I'm thinking about is trying to please men, then how can I be called a servant of Christ? If my priority is to please God and to do what he has commanded me to do, how can I please men? I'm sure they said, oh, I'm not sure how the Judaizers taught it, but maybe they said, oh, the gospel is good, but here are some good works just to make sure that, just to make sure you're on the right side. I'm sure there were people that were happy to hear that. I'm sure there were people that were happy to hear that they got to still add the law to it. But Paul says his priority was to please God. And that's what shaped his decision. And I think of Paul's faithfulness, he had to endure through a lot. 2 Corinthians 11, a few verses here, verse 23 through 28. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths often. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. That doesn't seem like a lot of fun. But Paul made a decision about the gospel. He decided that being faithful to God, being faithful to the gospel, mattered more to him than anything. And it was because of his grace that he was able to endure all that. When I read those verses, I'm like, man, how was Paul able to endure all that? How was he able to endure that thorn in the flesh that he talks about as well that he struggled with? It wasn't because of Paul being Paul. It was because of the God he served. But he made a decision about the gospel. Paul is going to continue this theme throughout the whole book of Galatians, talking about not being justified by the law, but being justified by faith. But the decision needs to be made on what we are going to do with the gospel. You may say, why do we need to be faithful to the gospel? Why is this theme of being faithful to God? What is the importance of it? Well, because the power of the gospel. Because the gospel saves lives. I remember having to go through fire alarm drills in school, in the dorm room. How many of you remember fire alarms going to school and all that? And this at this certain time, it wasn't during the day, during a classroom. They would have these alarms at night. Around 2 a.m., only the dorm supervisors would know, and they'd flip the alarm, and guys who were staying up, working on projects, or people sleeping, just filing out of the room. And I remember we all went outside, and before they can turn the alarm off, they had to make sure that everyone was present outside, everyone's good, and then they turned off and everyone can walk back in. And I remember I was trying to figure out where my roommates were at, and we were missing one. And everyone was outside, and there was one guy who was still in the building. So I remember the dorm supervisor, they went in and went to my room, knocked on the door, they went in, and the guy was still sleeping. There was a fire alarm. He was still sleeping. We finally got him up, got him out, and we were able to shut down the alarm and go back inside. What was surprising to me was he was still sleeping because this alarm was so loud. But the purpose of it is to get your attention. That's the purpose of a fire alarm. If there's a fire going on or if there's smoke, it's supposed to be loud enough so that it can warn you and it can save your life. It's not up to us to decide, it's kind of too loud at this moment. Let me mix a few things, remove a battery just so that it can not be as loud. No, that's not the point of an alarm. An alarm is supposed to be loud so that you can hear it and it can save people's lives. Changing it does not do any good. See, the gospel can save people's life. And it's not our responsibility to do anything to it, because the gospel that was given to us can change people's lives. And we shouldn't be ashamed of it. We shouldn't be ashamed to tell others about the correct gospel. Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And it says in Jude 1, verse 3, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints." Contend for it. Earnestly contend, fight and uphold it. You see, we can't just proclaim the gospel. We have to be ready to defend it. We have to be ready to be prepared. The Bible says to give answer to every man that asketh of the hope that is in you. When people ask, we should be ready to tell them about the good news of what God did for us and that he can also do for them. And because this is the life-changing good news of the gospel, everyone needs to hear. This evening, will you make the decision to contend for the faith? When life gets hard or if you are challenged, will you continue to hold the truths of God's word, even when it's not convenient? When I teach the kids in our Sunday school and junior church, they need to make the decision as well. Tell them that their parents, they have great intentions for them, but they have to decide one day for themselves on what they are going to do with the gospel. And each and every one of us have to decide what we are going to do. Will you be faithful to God's word and to the gospel? Paul was so shocked at the gospel that he preached to them, they had turned away from. I'm sure that wasn't the only false gospel that came their way. And it's not the only false gospel that we are ever going to hear about. But the important thing is that we have the gospel, but we decide to defend it, but also be faithful to it. As we go into our prayer time, ask God for grace and strength to be faithful. Be faithful to God and his word. The Bible says his delight is in the law, and in this law doth he meditate day and night. And that was the recipe that God gave Joshua for success, was to be in the word. Be faithful to God and his word, but also in your walk with God. How you can know God, how you can get wisdom, how you can get guidance is through fellowship with God. But also be faithful in service to him. Whatever God has for you, whichever area of ministry that you're serving in now, be faithful to him. I'm not saying it won't get difficult. I'm not saying that you will never be discouraged. But in the midst of that, ask God for grace to endure and ask God for grace to be faithful. Let's have a word of prayer right before we go into our prayer time. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for allowing us to learn more in your word in Galatians. And even though Paul had to make some correction, Father, at the end, we all have to make a decision on what we are going to do with your word, the truths from your word. Father, I pray that we would contend for it, but that we would uphold it. I pray that if there are any false teachings that we hear of in this world, that we would go back to your word and that we would be faithful to what you have called us to do. I pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.